Okay, today's daf, we have Sir Richard, who was under real dire duress over here, because note that, again, Zoom has put him right up there with Doc right next to him. It's frightening. And he's ready to give us an absolutely brilliant rendition of... So we're ready. Hakotev tofsei gitin tzarech yaniach makom ha'ish, makom ha'isha, makom hazman. So remember that we have this distinction between the tofes of a get and the toref of a get. So tofes of the get is the standard part, which does not have to be written lishma, because there's nothing that is specific about it. There's nothing to write lishma. But those things that are specific to a divorce, such as the name of the man, the name of the woman, and obviously the date, that's not because of the lishma, but that's because of the takona, that it shouldn't be a get mugdam. And we had a machlokas. What the reason for that was, remember, was it because we didn't want people to cover for the adultery of a niece that he had married, or whether it was because of the recovery of peirot, that the husband loses the rights to, and the woman should be able to get the peirot from the nechse melug. In any event, those are the most important things, which if you hold of lishma, then you've got to make sure that those things are written lishma, which would mean that it would be alibi d'Rabbi Elazar. And the reason that we need it is because, according to him, the actual writing of the get needs to be lishma. And how about if a sofer is writing the shtare milva? So suppose we're not talking about Gitei Nashim. Gitei Nashim, there we've got that problem of lishma. Over here, if he wants to write a contract, of course it cannot be a shtar mugdam, which would be possible because it would enable the person holding the shtar to go after property that had been sold only, had actually been sold before the loan was made, but it was sold properly only according to a fake date. So that much is true about shtare milva. And even though there's no din of lishma, if you are writing shtare milva as a sofer that you want to have ready, so then the thing to do is you need to leave certain things blank. I mean, obviously, the name of the people. So the name of the lender, the makom ha-milveh, the makom ha-loveh, the amount of what it was that the loan was for, which is the makom ha-ma'ot, and the date. That's for sure. How about if you have bills of sale, shtari mekach? So there again, tzarech yaniach makom ha-lokeach, the name of the buyer, the name of the seller, the amount, and you need to also leave blank the identifier of the property. So that's the makom ha-sada, which you talk about the gvulot of the sada and so on. And then you need to have also the date. Now, for some reason, we throw in the words mipnei ha-takana. Now, it's not clear what is this mipnei ha-takana referring back to. The get, the shtari milva, was it referring to the fact that you're allowed to write a tofes, or was it referring to the fact that you need to leave things blank? This is very confusing, which the Gemara will get. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, you cannot use any type of pre-formed document, and therefore forget it, even if you leave everything blank. So he's posuk bekulam. Obviously, he makes a gezeira, apparently, that because people may come to actually write the tofsei gittin, which will allow them to write the torev gittin, they think, so he answered writing even tofsim, not only of gittin, but of anything. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, no, there's no problem in writing all of these other kinds of shtarot. The only problem is in writing Gitei Nashim. Because in Gitei Nashim, if you would write the actual Torah, then you would be ruining it because it has to be Vekatav Lishma. And because of that, Rabbi Elazar, this is where the Gemara ends up explaining the Mishnah, and because of that, Rabbi Elazar is not going to allow you to write any type of pre-formed document, because we're worried that you may end up writing the whole thing if it's a get. But as far as other types are concerned, that's fine. you can write even a pre-written shtar. And the truth is, this is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi understands that Rabbi Elazar is machshir b'kulam only if you write the tofes and not the toref. Whereas Tosfos says, it's clear from the Gemara, that you could even write a shtar. How in the world would you do that? Well, basically, I mean, how would you write a get, actually, and do the toref? So imagine a situation. A guy is in business for providing shtarot. Now, remember, if he's in business providing shtarot, he becomes very sensitive to where he is going to be called upon to provide the shtar, right? Because, I mean, it takes a long time to actually create a shtar. If you don't have a computer and so on, you're going to have to spend a lot of time doing it. What if he's got a number of orders? He's unable to fill those orders today, and he loses money. So he becomes very sensitive. And basically, the same way a cardiologist has got to become a psychologist, because that's basically what he's going to be doing, the same thing is true of a sofer. He's got to become a psychologist. He can spot a divorce 2 months away. So because of that, as soon as he spots an upcoming divorce, he figures, whoops, good idea to get this all ready. And that way I'm not going to be caught short. And he can also find out if somebody's trying to get a loan and he finds out this guy needs money, he knows who he's going to go get money from. So he figures, okay, he'll be the first one on the job. He'll write up the shtar. He'll only leave blank the date, but he'll have everything else filled in and it'll be ready to go. So he capitalizes on his sensitivity. So according to Tosfos, when Rebbe Elazar is machshir b'kulam, he is even machshir other shtarot that were fully written, even where the toref was written. According to Rashi, he's only machshir where the toref wasn't written. Omri v'yadar mashmur. Now, we never talked about this before, says Shmuel, but if you're going to be leaving a get blank, then you also have to leave the one thing that must be written lishma, besides the names and the details, you have to also leave blank the words, Hareyat Muteret L'chol Adam, because that's the essence of the get. With this, you are Muteret for everyone, but that is given to her, particularly, has to be written to her. So the Vekatavla includes those words as well. Therefore, that part is left blank to be filled in Lishma. And the reason I say this, says Shmuel, is because clearly our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar holds Eide Mesira Karte. And remember, if you hold Eide Mesira Karte, that means that your interpretation of the Pasuk that says V'katav La Sefer Kritut is on the actual writing of the get and not on the Chatima, the way that Rabbi Meir would have it. So since you have to write Be'inan Ketiva Lishma, you have to write the Ktivat HaGet, and the essential get is I, name of the man, to you, name of the woman, and the Reyat Muteret L'chol Adam. So therefore, for sure, that needs to be left blank as well. Now, what's interesting is that it's turned out now that we've had Shmuel sort of repeating himself three times. For the past three Mishnayos, he has been telling us that the Mishnah is going Aliba de Rabbi Elazar, and he asserts this every single Mishnah we've had, the past three Mishnahs. We had a Mishnah before on Chaf Aleph, we had a Mishnah before on Chaf Beis, and now we get to this Mishnah, and he's telling us the same thing. The Kov say, begin. And the question is, why does he have to tell us three separate Mishnahs? We had the Mishnah of Ein Kotvim Al HaMechubar. So that halacha, he says, is going al libra Rabbi Elazar. And then when it says that if you wrote it Al HaMechubar, that was the difference between the Toref and the Tofes, according to Rabbi Elazar. That's the way that he'd explain the Mishnah there. Then we get to the next Mishnah. He wrote also, where it says, Hakol Ksherim Lichtov, except for Cheresh Haytav HaKatan. And the question is, what would be the din over there if they would write? He explains Tov Segitin, I mean, Ksherim Lichtov also, in terms of Rabbi Elazar, and it would be also this difference, or if you was had in Kavana Lishma, and so on, but not like Rabbi Meir. And then he's also coming now to tell us that this Mishnah, Kosev Tovse Gittin, is going Aliba, the Rebbe Lazar, and therefore you have to leave blank the place that says Areit Mutarat L'chol Adam. Now, if this were Rebbe Meir, you would not have to leave blank Areit Mutarat L'chol Adam. Obviously, you would leave blank the name of the man and the woman, because otherwise you'd have to write 10 million Gittin to cover every possible case, but Areit Mutarat L'chol Adam, according to Rebbe Meir, doesn't require Ktiv L'shma, because the din of Ktiv L'shma is, according to him, referring to what? The Chatima of the Edim. So that means that for three different Mishnayos, he's telling us basically the same point, that it's going Aliba de Rebbe Lazar. Why did he need to do this so many times? Well, I'll tell you. Because, Tzricha, Miyashmin Ach Kamayita, supposing he only would have told us the first of the whole list over here, which is Ain Kotvim, Amachuber, Lakarka, and he would have said, yeah, the difference is that as long as you wrote the Tovfes, the Toref off of the Karka, that it would be okay. So that, he says, is Rebbe Elazar. Okay, so isn't that enough? No, it's not enough. Because I would have said, yes, over there, it could be that that's going according to Rebbe Elazar, but that's because the Mishnah basically forces you into saying it's Rebbe Elazar. Maybe Shmuel only wants to say it's Rebbe Elazar when he does not have an opportunity to explain the Mishnah, Libra Rebbe Meir, because, I mean, the Mishnah starts off saying, Ein kotvim b'mechub l'karka, and then it says, and if you wrote b'mechub l'karka, I mean, so, make up your mind. So obviously we have to fix the Mishnah, should work out in some reasonable way, that there's a difference between the Tofis of a get and a Torah of a get if it's written in Mechub l'karka. That would be certainly hinting very strongly that it's Rebbe Elazar. Masha Enkein, where you get to the next part of the Mishnah, which is the next Mishnah, the Sefer, where it says over there, in that same Mishnah, is very confusing. And it says over there that a woman can write her own get, and it puts in the words, Ein kiyum haget ela b'chotmav. Now, that sure sounds like Rebbe Meir, you know? So, I mean, that would mean that the first part of that Mishnah about who is allowed to write the get, it's mashma, that it's going all with part of this Mishnah, is all going like Rebbe Meir. I would have thought that it's Rebbe Meir who holds Ede Chatima Karte, and that according to Rebbe Meir, so that we don't have a problem over there because we don't need Ktiva Lishma, and therefore a cheres shait of a cotton doesn't need gadol emid al gabav, and there's no nafkamina what it is that he's writing, because there's no din of lishma. Therefore, I need to say no. Even over there, the words ein kiyum haget ela b'chotamav is referring not to the first part of the Mishnah about cheres shait of a cotton, it's referring to the part of the Mishnah that says a woman can write her own get. And when it says chotamav, it's not referring to the eidei chatima. It's referring to the Ede Mesira. You know why he calls it Chotamav? Because it wants to hint at the additional halacha that even according to Rebbe Elazar, the Ede Chatima, the Ede Mesira, that our Karte should sign the get. Because that way we also have Ede Chatima in the event that they're not available to testify. Maybe they'll move away. Maybe they'll die. Who knows? So they should also sign it, since the people that usually sign are the ones that were the one that had seen the Mesira of the Get. So it calls it Chotamav to hint at that idea, even on Libra Rebbe Elazar. Okay, so Shmuel needed to tell us that no, you shouldn't think that because it uses the word Ein Kiyum Haget Ela B'Chotamav, that it's referring to Rebbe Meir, and you don't need Ketiva Lishma. You do need Ketiva Lishma. Now, if I knew that, I would have said, okay, I understand you want that Mishnah to come out like Rebbe Elazar, comes out fine, according to Rebbe Elazar. But this Mishnah is absolutely impossible to explain Aliba de Rebbe Meir, not because of the logic, but if you take a look at the closing words of our Mishnah, what does it say? It says Rebbe Elazar holds that all shtarot are kosher, except for the get, where over there you're not allowed to write the get in advance. So, okay, so then that means that the first part of the Mishnah was not like Rebbe Elazar. I mean, if you're bringing in Rebbe Elazar at the end, and you're saying that he's arguing on the sheet in the Mishnah, so then that means that the beginning was not going on Libra Rebbe Elazar, right? So, me to say for Rebbe Elazar, Avi Reisha, love Rebbe Elazar. Apparently, the Reisha of this Mishnah apparently is telling us that even Alibet Rabbi Meir, who holds that there's no din of Ksiva Lishma, nonetheless, there's a reason not to write the Torah from the get before. Why that would be isn't clear. But we're going to find out that it is a takona Alibet Rabbi Meir. That would be one way of reading the Mishnah, that Alibet Rabbi Meir, it's a takona. What would the takona be? I mean, it's pretty obvious what the takona would be. If somebody has a get written in advance, that's all he needs, that the missus should hear about that. So that's a pretty big takana. And there's also other elements of takana. Libra Rabbi Meir's, we'll find out. So speaking about self-fulfilling prophecies, maybe Rabbi Meir would agree, well, you're not allowed to do that. But it wouldn't have anything to do with Lishma. Perhaps. Okay, so because of that, I would think, you know what? That seems to be the most reasonable explanation of this Mishnah, because if it's Rebbe Elazar, why does Rebbe Elazar suddenly come up with an alternative shot in the end of the Mishnah? That's crazy. Mashma, the first part of the Mishnah was Rebbe Meir. Therefore comes along Shmuel to say, no, the first part is Rebbe Elazar, and that there's a different shita in Rebbe Elazar about whether there's a takana in terms of writing a tofes of a get. Fine. Okay. Anyway, of course, the way that we define this Mishnah is going to have massive implications about how to understand the weird words mipnei ha-takana, because mipnei ha-takana could go in many different directions. Is mipnei ha-takana a reason for why you are allowed to write the tofes of a get? Is mipnei ha-takana a takana why you're not allowed to write the toref of a get? I don't know what's going on with this takana. What does that mean, mipnei ha-takana? What takana? Well, I mean, it depends, obviously, if you're going up a little bit of Rebbe Elazar. So then you would prefer the following explanation. Amar Rebbe Yonatan, what it means is that theoretically, if you hold that the Mishnah is going a little bit of Rebbe Elazar, do you feel that in your heart of hearts that we should allow a sofer to write the tofes of a get and leave these few blanks in order to be yotzei the lishma just on the blanks? Or is that sort of a dangerous kind of flirting with the edge? I mean, if a guy's going to write a toe face, I mean, he might just succumb to the desire to write the full Torah to have it ready. I mean, that would make it a puzzle get. So why do we allow this? That's what it's coming to address. It's saying, mipnei takanat sofer, in order to allow a sofer to be well prepared with all of the different gittim that he needs, or the different, when I say gittim, I mean shtarites that he needs, so we allow him to write tofsim in advance, which normally we would think better not, but it's not practical from the point of view of a sofer to say better not. So, mipnei takanat the sofer, we said, okay. Because it's going on Libet Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar holds Eda Mesira Karte, and therefore you must write the get itself Lishma. And because of that, you would think that we ought to be very careful and not allow the sofer even to write a toface. Ubedinu dafil toface nami lichto lo lichto. Therefore, says the Mishnah, the reason that we're telling you that Hakosef Tov Segitin, that we do allow it, is Mibnei HaTakana, namely, Mishum takanat sofrim shorah rabbanan. Okay, that's great. Then, all right, so then how would the other shitas in the Mishnah work out if we're telling you that there is a takana? Well, Rabbi Yehuda, who then says, no, you cannot write any kind of tofes. Get about the get. You can't even write a tofes for a loan. Why in the world would that be? Oh, well, consistent with my explanation, says Rabbi Yonatan, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with this takanas ha-sofrim. He's more worried about the problem of potentially getting a get that was written shelo lishma, because he put in the Torah as well. So because of that, he says, no, siri, we cannot have a situation where sofrim are writing the gitin in advance, even if they say we're only writing the tofes. Way too dangerous. As a matter of fact, even if we allow them to write a long shtar, they're going to end up writing gittin. You know what? Forget it. We're going to have to asser all advanced shtarot. A sofer has to do everything personalized. So this is your own personalized sofer and tough on sofer. I don't hold of this takana. So that's the way I would understand Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yonatan. So Rabbi Yehuda posel, because he is gozer because of the get. He's gozer the tofes otu toref. That's gezerah number one. And gezerah number two, and of course you'll say, but isn't that a gezerah la gezerah? No, he basically sees this as the only way for this to actually work. He was gozer shar shtarot otu gitin. And he says, look, I understand that it's ridiculous to aser writing form documents for loans and sales, but if we don't, then for sure the sofrim are going to come writing gittin this way. And therefore we just have to make a blanket iser on writing any type of shtar in advance. Okay. Now then we have the sheet of Rabbi Elazar at the end, in which he says all types of forms are perfectly okay, other than gittin nashim. So in other words, he agrees that you can't even write a toface of a get, because that gezerah Rebbe Lutzer holds of. So he's the first gezerah of, well, we can't let you write a form get, because you may end up writing a personalized get, and then it wouldn't be lishma. But he doesn't hold to the second gezerah. He thinks that's taking it a little bit too far, and to aser writing up any type of advanced form, that's crazy. So he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda about that. Okay, so then we have basically three different shitot in the Mishnah, all explained very well according to the way I, Rabbi Yonatan, am explaining the words b'pnei ha-takana. The takana is the takana of the sofer. What would be the status if you don't hold of that takana? If you do hold of the takana, we allow you to write up anything at all that's just a form. If you don't hold of that takana at all, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't allow you to write up anything, even though it's just the form. And that's because we're afraid that in the end, you're going to come to write the actual get, not just the form. And then we have Rabbi Lazar, who says, listen, I do hold of the takana in terms of the other shtarot, and I don't see any problem with that. But I agree that we cannot use a takana of the sofer to risk getting into gittin that have forms because of the possibility of making the mistake of writing the actual toref as well. Okay, great. So now we've got a very simple explanation of the words of the Mishnah. Mishnah works out perfectly well according to Rebbe Lazar. The fact that there's another sheet of Rebbe Lazar at the end, that the Gemara is going to excuse with the standard near Trei Tanoia Libra Rebbe Lazar, and we understand that everything works out fine. That's one approach, right? Well, that's one approach, but how do we understand the closing words? I mean, you're saying the point of Rebbe Lazar is that worried about a gezerah of the toe face because maybe you'll come to write the Torah. So then why does Rebbe Lazar justify his din by saying, look, it says v'katavla. What? But the katavla wasn't said about the tofes. The katavla was said about the toref. So he's not talking sense. V'hokiktiv la, it's referring on the toref, even according to Rebbe Lazar. So how is that a proof that you can't write the tofes? No, what he means is not shenemar. That's not the point. It's mishum shenemar. In other words, since this din of a katavla is a diaraisa when it comes... Barnea, please mute. When it comes to the din of the Torev, therefore we make a gezerah even when it comes to the Tofes. That's what he means to say, because we're dealing with a diaraisa, and he wants to make it very clear. You know, don't make the mistake of thinking like Rabbi Meir. Oh, no, you must write that Torev, b'diaraisa lishma, and therefore there's a very good reason to ask Barnea, please mute. Keep muting him and he unmutes. Oh my gosh. I don't know what to do. We're in a battle of mutes. I guess he's trying to give us a Barnea neighborhood about Chereshayt Vekotan. Now, I'm not sure which one. The mute part I understand, but I mean, it is a little bit insane, so maybe the shaita is also included. Okay. Anyway, that's approach number one, which we understand that the nature of the takana is the takana's hasofer, and that provides us these multiple alternatives to how far we're going to take the gezeira or the lack of such gezeira. That's approach number one. Okay, we've got another approach, but before we get there, how do we explain the fact that the Mishnah has got two Reb Elazars? If Reb Yonatan is explaining the Reisha, I'll leave it to Reb Elazar. How does Reb Elazar suddenly at the end take issue with his own self? And he says, I'm not going to be matir, the Tofes Gittin. Reb Elazar, we're saying the Tanakama is Reb Elazar, but the Tanakama is matir writing Tofes Gittin. Which one is the true Reb Elazar? Please stand up. Trei Tanaya, leave it to Reb Elazar. Okay, that's something that is common enough. And so one sheet in Reb Elazar is that since the Vikosavla is only said on the Torah, therefore will allow you to write the Tofes because of the Takon of the Sofer, we won't make the Gezera. And the second Reb Elazar does make the Gezera, but he only makes the Gezera Lagabi a get. He doesn't extend the Gezera as Reb Yudah does into other Shtarot. That's our first approach. Now, there's another, a completely different approach, in which the takana that we're talking about is not the reason for why should we allow a sofer to write a tofes of a get. It's just the opposite. Why should we not allow the sofer to write everything? And it's going aliba to Rebbe Meir. So it's, according to Rebbe Meir, only the chatima has to be done lishma. So if we have our Feinschmecker sofer, who is Dr. Feinschmecker, the psychiatrist, who spots a get a month away, so why can he not write that get in advance? That's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. And the takana is, it's a takana for the preservation of marriage. All we need is for Mrs. to find out that Dr. Feinschmecker wrote the get in advance, and she says, aha, so he has commissioned a get from me, has he? And she begins the shattering of every glass in the house and so on. So in order to avoid that, we make a takana mishum kitata, because actually the mission is going on to Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir holds ede chatima karte, and therefore we do not need for the get to be written lishma, so why does it say that you're not allowed to write even the Torah? If we're going Aliba to Rebbe Meir, and for that, we come to explain that even though Bedinu, certainly in terms of the technicalities, since we hold Aliba to Rebbe Meir, the Sofer can write the whole get, Afilu Torif Amilichtov, the only thing he would need to leave blank is the date, because of the problem that we have about a get mugdam. Why then does the Mishnah say that the Sofer can only write the Tofes? I'll tell you why. Because v'zimne d'shama leila sofer d'kokativ, what if Mrs. walks by the sofer shop and hears that, all right, now we're writing the words, Mr. McGillicuddy is divorcing Mrs. McGillicuddy. What says Mrs. McGillicuddy? That's me. And if she hears that, she will assume that this was a commissioned get. It will never occur to her that Dr. Feinschmecker, the sofer, has heard her shrill voice penetrating the entire neighborhood for the past two months. Oh, no, that couldn't be. Must be that my rotten husband was the one who told him. And therefore, Havilei Ketota Ba'adei, she will go and start a major battle. And therefore, the Rabbanan, for the preservation of Gittim, are going to not allow our dear sensitive sofer to have things ready in advance. So it's a completely opposite, it's adorable, right? We got the same Mishnah with completely opposite meanings. So either we read, it's absolutely amazing the way that Torah Shebaal Peh works, right? Afata, hate oznecha kafa chesed. You've got to be able to hear the divrei amatirim and the divrei ha'isrim and the divrei ha'paislim and the divrei ha'makshirim. We've got the same Mishnah with totally opposite meanings. So this, according to this approach, the Mishnah is coming to explain what's wrong with writing even the Torah. A takana. Okay, great. So that's going on Libet Rebbe Meir. And actually, we have another explanation, more sophisticated, of Mipnei HaTakana. Now, this is a beautiful, beautiful approach. This approach says, remember that one of our most incessant concerns throughout has always been the protection of women. That's been the bottom line, to make certain that the woman is not left with a problem of being cheated out of her money or not being able to get a get, and therefore because of that we've allowed all types of kulais and who will be able to write the get and who will be able to be the aid on the get that we would accept, and normally we wouldn't, and we wanted to have the fanai nechtam to make sure that she's not going to be challenged by her husband later on and make her trouble, claiming that the get wasn't, so on and so forth. Therefore, Rav Chisda Amar Avimi, listen, every takana that we've been talking about has always been in terms of protecting a woman. This is exactly the same. We want you not to write this Mishum Takana Agunot. Now, there's two different ways of understanding even that understanding. Takanat Agunot could work according to Rabbi Meir, and Takanat Agunot could work according to Rabbi Elazar. And in fact, there are two approaches. Here's the approaches. Some say, Amrila, some say that this is making the assumption that the Mishnah is going Alib to Rabbi Meir, Diomar Ede Chatima Karte. Okay, as we've already seen, if you hold Ede Chatima Karte, then we don't need to write the get Lishma. We only write to have the, we need to have the signature of the Eden has to be Lishma. In which case, Bedinu Da'afilu Torif Nami Lichtov. We should allow the Sofer to have the Torif ready. But we've got a problem. If a Torif is ready, it makes it very easy to divorce. Now, there can be something called too easy to divorce. Because, let's face facts. What couple in the world has not yelled at each other, I want a divorce, right? This is impossible. I can't go on like this. Okay, so if you want a divorce, and the divorce is ready, and all you need to do is press your download button and have the divorce there, you can just imagine what the situation is going to be. So Zinadavile Katotabada. So it's definitely going to happen. This guy's going to get into a fight with his wife. Then he's going to lose self-control. He's going to be absolutely furious. And so he grabs this already prepared get, presses his print button, and throws the get at her, leaving her as an aguna. Now, an aguna, the kind of aguna, of course, usually means that a husband disappears, possibly drowned, away on a trip overseas and never returns. Is he dead, or is he with a Chinese woman in a Hong Kong hotel? Only his hairdresser will know for sure. But the woman, meanwhile, is left as an aguna. That's what it usually means. And that was the takana that we had of believing even in Eid Echad that the husband died. Here, it's a little bit strange lashon. Now, later on, Tosfos is going to show that leaving a woman with a divorce after 50 years of marriage is essentially leaving her as an aguna. It's not going to find somebody to get married to again. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, you've left her without support and without emotional care and so on and so forth. So that's the equivalent of aguna. The lashon, as Reb Kiviger points out, is therefore applicable even here. Now, there is a girsa in Rashi where the mashmaut is that that's what it means when it says he might throw her a get. And oftentimes when you throw a get, you're left with the perennial question. Safek korov lo, safek korov la. And he says, why? Oh, but he gave her a get. No, it didn't get with. It was closer to him. Well, I'm not giving you another get, and so on and so forth. And this leaves her as a suffix mugureshet, which is another lashon in Rashi. And in any event, that would be truly an aguna, because she can't get married to anybody else. And meanwhile, he claims he's already divorced her. Anyway, that's one approach. And that approach was like Rabbi Meir. Now, We could also use the word, the takana mipnei agunot, according, I mean, Rabbi Meir, we could also use it according to Rabbi Elazar. Armila Rabbi Elazar, the Omer Edim is Sira Karte. So here's how that would go. The truth is that mi ikra dena filu tov iznami lo lichtov. We shouldn't be allowing this sofer to write even tov segitin, because we're worried that, you know, I mean, this is terrible. What if he makes a mistake? He writes a Torah, he'll give a get that wasn't written l'shma, the get will be pus. Woman will be living her whole life with a phony get. We ought to make a gezera. Why don't we make a that? Because of this takana. The takana is to allow gittin to be easily enough in hand so that if an emergency comes up, and somebody has got to catch a flight for a desperately ill family member or something, and it's in the days when catching a flight was like going to Mars, he doesn't know whether he'll ever return. So what's he going to do? Plane's about to take off. Ah, the situation is solved by our takana for agunot. The sofer has a handy supply of gittin on hand, ready for this guy to catch his plane and to allow a woman not to fall to Yibum Misafik and not to be a Ish Misafik, and everything works out better. So Zimna Deboi Lemezel Medina Tayam Velosh Kach Safra, he won't find anybody in time. Vishavik Lo, he's got to go. He's got to go, and he leaves her. And he may turn out never coming back, and now he's Me'again her. She never knows what to do. And he leaves her as a true Aguna. Okay, moving on then to the Mishnah. So it says you have to leave the blank for the date. Now, we understood why you have to leave the blank for the date. We had our machlokas before, remember? Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, is the issue we're worried about using a get to cover adultery of your dear sweet niece, or at least you thought she was your dear sweet niece that you married? Or is it in order to make certain that the legalities of what the husband is taking from the nichse belug, that the woman will have the ability to protect herself about how long her husband is going to be taking that from her. Anyway, but you'll notice that the Mishnah makes this an absolute requirement of any type of get. Now, what if somebody never got to the chuppah? Okay, he's divorcing his arusa. Now, this is a concept, of course, that we don't really meet today because we don't allow any time for people just to be mu'urasim. They go directly from the erusin, the kriyas haksuva, the erusin, areat mekudeshetli, and then they immediately call up somebody to make these new brachas, and they make the chuppah and the sheva brachas. That's not the way things were done, but we do that today. And this is not talking about now, it's talking about then. So now we had a year in between the first part of what is supposedly the chuppah, which has nothing to do with the chuppah, which was the hareat mekudeshetli. And sometimes during that year before they get to the chuppah, the guy decides he wants out. Now, if you want out, you need to give a get, because erusin, of course, achieves a complete state of eishes ish. Now, the Mishnah seems to be making no distinction between a get that's written for an arusa or a get that's written for a nisu'ah. But that's a problem. Because look, says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, kapasik vatani, makes absolutely no difference, lo shlamina nisu'in, lo shlamina erusin, you absolutely need to have the date in the get. Now, if you are talking about the get min hanisu'in, we've explained that. So, Bishlam and Minasuim, yes, you cannot have a date that is predated, because no matter what approach, whether you have Rabbi Yochanan's approach, Lamandi Amri Mishum Batachoto, your sweet little niece that you're trying to protect from her adultery, fine. And that's true. Bein Lamandi Amri Mishum Peri, or we need to make sure the husband's not stealing his Nichse Malug rights. Okay, I need a date. But erusin, now that's a little bit confusing to me. Why do you need a date on a get min erusin? So if the issue is sweet little niece, then I understand it's the same, because erusin is an eishes ish, and if she committed adultery, you want to cover for her. So bishlam elamandi yomei bishum bat achoto, yes, that still makes perfectly good sense why we need the date, but if you're telling me that it's bishum peri, an arusa doesn't have peri. So why would we need to put in a date to protect her from the so-called Nichsei Malug and his peirot? Remember that the peirot of Nichsei Malug, we had this back in Ketuvot many, many times, they are an exchange for protection against kidnapping and his need to be poda her, remember? And that doesn't go into effect until the Tanaya Ketuva go into effect. So therefore, it's ridiculous. Why are we putting a date to protect her from his stealing Nichsei Malug? There are no Nichsei Malug, for heaven's sake. So why bother with the date? Rav Amram, you know, I'll tell you, Ula explained it to me, and I never knew what the heck he was talking about. I finally figured it out because I heard a brisa. Ula said to me, look, the reason you need to have a date on a get of an arusa is for protection of children. What? Children? They're not even married. She's an arusa. There's not supposed to be any children. What are you talking about? I could not imagine what he meant. Lo yadana mainyu. But then I heard a bright, and all of a sudden it clicked beautifully. So, given the Shamana Lahadatanya, Omer Kitfu get la arusati. Guy goes to Sofer, he says, write me a get for my arusa. Now, I don't want to give her that get now, but you know, all these rabbis are telling me, better to give a get after you're married than to break an engagement. You know, they actually say this to you, you know. So, I want the get written now so that as soon as I go to the chuppah, I can give her a get. Okay. So, what's the din? That is not a kosher get. And Ula explained there also, why is it not a kosher get? Because it is basically a get yashan. Gezerah shema yomru gita kodem livna. We're worried, let's hear it for the bastards. And that's exactly the problem over here. We're not worried about mamzerut, but we are worried about pegam mishpacha. And pegam mishpacha is wherever you have a birth out of wedlock, people always make fun of it. So because of that, since if the date, people might say that, well, look at this, it's dated earlier. Apparently they had gotten divorced and then they had this kid together. So in order not to have that kind of misunderstanding hanging over any child, so it's actually considered to be not a get at all. Now, Tosis points out that the language of not a get because of get yashan is inappropriate, because a normal get yashan, if it's used, is it? You can't say ain't no get at all. It's definitely a get. So Tosis explains there's a big difference between the standard get yashan and this particular case, because this case is crazy, because over here he's saying, after I take her to the chuppah, a get yashan is where they were alone together. The chances of her getting pregnant after he takes her to the chuppah is a whole different problem, right? I mean, they're definitely sleeping together, and therefore over here, it goes beyond the normal concerns of a get yashan. We won't allow you to use this get. That's why it says in this case, eno get, says Tosfos. Still leaves us some problems, but we'll get to them when we deal more with the issues of get yashan. So in any event, the way in which we understand now the takana would be, it's a takana for the vlad in the case of an arusa in order to avoid misunderstandings of when she was born, in wedlock or out of wedlock. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Bashila, Omer Rabbi Saba, Omer Rabbi Ada Barava, Omer Rav. Gosh, there are an awful lot of different shitot over here. The halacha, Rav Paskin, was like Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says in the Mishnah that you can write the tofes of anything at all, but not gittin. That's how we paskin. Kori Rav Ale de Rabbi Elazar, Tuvina de Chachimai, the most wonderful of all of the Chachomim, is Rabbi Elazar. You can count on Rabbi Elazar. Now, does that mean that he's paskining completely, like Rabbi Elazar? I mean, even in terms of the heter of writing other types of the shtores, shtor of milva, shtor of mechira, and so on, that's okay? Or is he only paskling like Rabbi Elazar in terms of the iser of writing tofsei get? Because, I mean, he seems to be saying entirely, afilu b'shar shtarot nami. But isn't that a problem? Because Rav Papi, Mishmeda Rava, says, Hai ashrata de dayana, de michtava mikamed el sadi sadi, achatimat yadayu pesula. Now remember that an ashrata de dayani is a standard little stamp that is added to a contract that says, before us, the following dayanim, Adim appeared and they testified to the fact that the signatures affixed to this document are actually accurately of the signatures of those people. And then it has the signature of the Dayanim that this took place. That's called an Asharta, which of course in modern Hebrew we call it an Ishur. So it's a certificate by the Bezdin that this is a kosher signature. Now Rav Papi said that if you stamp the contract, this would be very normal. You got a secretary, there's like 50 people in the waiting room, and there's like 100 documents that are going to need to be stamped this morning. They're all going to run in, yes, we identify, next please, yes, we identify. So the secretary goes ahead and stamps the contract so that they'll be ready for the Dayanim, and it says there that the Adim appeared before us, and the stamp is on the document before the Adim appeared before us. So says Rav Papi, you can't sign on that because it wasn't true. You're signing a document that says the Adim came before us, which was stamped before the Adim even showed up in the waiting room. So how could you say that? Now that's called, Gavi dear, Michzei Keshikra. So Michzei Keshikra is a very broad term. We've talked about it before. It looks bad. It looks like there's something phony going on. Why does it say in this contract something that never happened? So why, says Tosfos, does Rav Papi focus specifically on an Asharta? No, that's even. What he means to say is even an Asharta de Dayani, which everybody understands is just going to be stamped by the secretary as the people walk in. And you'd think, I mean, come on, who's going to think that that's Michzei Keshikra? Even that is called Michzei Keshikra, says Rav Papi. So Kol Shekein, if you have a get, I mean, it's for sure Michzei Keshikra, right? Now, the problem is, this is Tosis' Raya, we mentioned before, against Rashi. Oh, for God's sake. What's going on over here? Shush. So, in this case, Tosfos says, well, what would be Michzei Keshikra about a tofes? Only a toref is Michzei Keshikra. A tofes is just simply a tofes. It's a form. It doesn't say anything. So how could that be Michzei Keshikra? Therefore, when Rashi claimed before that Rabbi Elazar was only being matir, the tofes of other shtarot, you see that the Gemara is talking about the toref of the other shtarot, which is why Tosfos understands it that way, based on this piece of the sugya. Anyway, so Alma Michzei Keshikra. So in the case of over here, where you have a shtar of a milva, and the milva never took place, and you're saying, well, it's okay, you could sign it anyway. It took place now, didn't it? Yeah, but I mean, the shtar is a fake shtar. You're telling me that he holds that's mutter? It should be Michzei Keshikra. Says the Gemara, it's not a problem. Because basically, that idea that Rav Papi, he said in the name of Rava, that idea is not true l'alocha. We know it's not true l'alocha, this concept of Michzei Keshikra, because of Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman said that according to Rebbe Meir, who holds that you do not need to write a get lishma, remember this astounding halacha, that according to Rebbe Meir, you're walking along a public garbage pail, and you notice a get in the garbage pail that has your name and your wife's name on it, you can pick it out of the garbage pail, use it as a get, and have it signed lishma. And there'd be no problem in that. Now, man, there ain't a bigger mitzvah kashikra than that. I mean, what do you mean? So-and-so divorced his wife. He did not. It's not even me. Who cares? The Enim can go right ahead, lechatchila, and sign on that. So obviously there's no concern. A mitzvah kashikra, afilu matzo ba'ashpa, it would be perfectly kosher. And the Rabbanan, remember, only argued about Gitei Nashim, because they were arguing about whether you need to have the Chatima Lishma or the Ktiva Lishma. But when it comes to other Shtarot, where there's no din of Lishma at all, so then that would mean that everybody would agree you could find the contract in a garbage pan, and you can sign it. So there's obviously no Mirzik Shikra. And, I mean, basically, Rav Asi Omer Rav Yochanan, there's another clear-cut raya, which is, and this is another amazing halacha, brand new halacha we never heard before. Remember that even though a shtar does not have to be written lishma, but a shtar has a very important power. And what is that power? It creates liens, and it defines when liens are collectible, right? So therefore, if a shtar was written on a particular loan, the difference between that loan being bal peh and that loan being backed up with a shtar is the question of whether you would be able to collect a property that was subsequently sold because the shtar created a lien. Okay, taking that into consideration, it means that every shtar, in a sense, has a concept of performative shtar. It creates a din, and the din that it creates is the lien. Now, let's imagine a situation where a guy borrowed money and the shtar is dated today. Everything is legal. It turns out that he gets a better deal on a loan. So he returns the money this very same day. He goes to pick up his money from another guy, and it turns out that he didn't read the small print, and there's a 5% service charge, which they only tell you afterwards, on the loan, and not ribit chas v'chalila, just a service charge, you know, postage and handling for your loan. Okay, so now he goes back to the first guy. He says, whoops, could I have that loan again, please? Well, you can't use the shtar for that loan. What? Well, it's the same shtar. It's the same names, the same amount, the same date. Everything is the same. Why can't I use the shtar? And here comes a whole brand new idea. Nimchal she'ibudo. This shtar no longer has the ability to create a lien because the loan was paid back for the lien that was created. And therefore, even if you have it recorded in a shtar, it's only a milva bal peh, and you will never be able to utilize it if the property is sold because there's no lien on it. Shekvar nimchal shi'ibudo. Now note, the only problem we have with the shtar is that it was nimchal shi'ibudo. Do we have a problem of mirzik shikra? Well, you're telling us to sign on this loan when the shtar was not written on this loan? How can you do that? It is wrong. It's a lie. We don't worry about that. It's just a document, man. So if it wouldn't be for the fact that nimchal shi'ibudo, it would be a perfectly good shtar. You see that Mishum Shikra Lo Chai Shinan. And that concludes this wonderful new ability to deal with the various levels of the same words in the Mishnah, Mishum HaTakana, to note how these dinim apply to both types of gittin, whether they're given to an arusa, given to an asua, incorporating the original concepts of why it is that we need dating, because up until now we were talking about the idea of lishma. We finally get around to, okay, but what about the date? That's not because of lishma. And how dates might affect other contracts as well. And that concludes our time together for today, unfortunately, or from your point of view, probably fortunately. But I'm wishing you have a wonderful day, and may we be zocha to continue tomorrow. Kol tov. Yeshua, Tchaki Viti Hashem. Go to.